Hello, and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. This is where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK Medical Center in Edison, all part of the Hackensack Meridian Network. COVID-19 has impacted, well, just about every area of our lives, but this is no time to ignore other issues concerning your health. Now, recent reports have shown, for example, that hospitals are seeing an increase of people ignoring life-threatening symptoms and staying home amid fears of contracting the coronavirus. When they do go, oftentimes, it's too late. Joining me today is Dr. Jawad Kermani. He is director of JFK Medical Center's Neuroscience Institute's Stroke and Neurovascular Center, and Dr. Salim Hussein, who is medical director of JFK Medical's Chest Pain Center and Cardiac Catheterization Lab. Welcome, both of you doctors.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's talk about, obviously, what a lot of people are fearing. People are trying to stay as far away from hospitals as possible. You know, I was even thinking of this the other day. People don't want to be anywhere near hospitals. They don't want to make doctor's appointments. They don't want to be around any medical professionals if they don't have to, because they know that a large amount of hospitals and medical professionals are dealing with people who are COVID-19 positive or are going to hospitals because they have symptoms of COVID-19. And this often results in people ignoring or not addressing issues that they may be experiencing, as far as, you know, perhaps stroke or an oncoming heart attack. They're kind of just suppressing it and saying, oh, it's not that bad. I'll ignore it. You know, maybe another time I'll address it. Doctors, maybe Dr. Kermani, maybe you can start and talk about this. Time, when it comes to things like stroke, heart attack, time is of the essence, correct?
That's very correct. And remember, like, the stroke is a silent killer. There are no pains associated with stroke, and stroke symptoms cannot be shaken off. And the more time that goes by after the stroke symptoms have started, the less of a chance that we have is that we are going to be able to reverse the problems caused by the stroke. So the mnemonic that we usually promote and use is be fast, which means that you have to be very, very efficient in recognizing the symptoms of stroke and coming to the hospital. It is very essential that you don't change the paradigm. Call 911, call the EMS to come and bring you to the hospital.
Now, dialing 911, calling EMS right now in today's climate, you can talk about this, Dr. Hussein. This is something that patients just don't want to deal with right now. What do you say to a patient who may be exhibiting some symptoms of heart attack that just want to put it aside and say, not right now, I'm too scared of the coronavirus?
I think Dr. Kermani sort of hit it on the spot there. You know, cardiac disease is very similar to CNS disease. Time is of the essence. The longer you wait, the more myocardial damage you can have. And unfortunately, what we're seeing is a lot of patients do come in and they're very at the end of their heart attacks. And by that time, there's very little we can offer them at that point. You know, we always say time, the door to time is really the important for us. It's like it is for stroke. The sooner you come in, the sooner you get revascularized, the better outcomes you have long term. That is one thing that, you know, we've known for many years. And unfortunately, I think people are scared to come into the hospital, but it's you have to realize that's what we're here for, is to take care of these issues. The COVID-19 infection is not going to go away. It's going to be here with us for a little while. So ignoring these things is not really the right thing to do.
Right, exactly. I mean, we're going to have to learn to live with this, at least for now in the foreseeable future. In the meantime, there are health issues that we need to address. And heart attack and stroke are just two of those issues that you cannot ignore. Before we get into heart attack and stroke and talk a little bit about that, let's talk about some of the ways that JFK Medical Center is safeguarding incoming patients that are not there for COVID-19, that don't have any symptoms, but they're coming to the ER for other issues. Why shouldn't they be, quote unquote, afraid?
I can take that. Like the main thing that why the patient should feel reassured that all proper precautions are taken is because there is a whole process on how we handle personal protective equipment for the healthcare professions and how we handle infection overall, infectious disease overall. There is a separation between the COVID and non-COVID patients. There is a proper protection by the healthcare workers as not to get the disease transmitted to any of the patients, as well as not to have the disease transmitted to them. So it's a precaution that is taken for precautions that are helpful on both sides. And that is such a stringent process at this time that the likelihood of anyone contracting the COVID at a community level is much higher than having contracted COVID disease from a healthcare worker who is taking all the proper precautions and wearing the respirator and protective equipment. And that's the more important component of this whole triage process, that sometimes it is scary to see a healthcare worker all suited up and all covered up walking towards you, but
right.
rest assured
yeah.
that that's a protection for you as well as for the healthcare provider.
I'm glad that you said that. I'm glad that you said that it's actually safer at the hospital than it is, you know, just out in your regular in your communities, and you know, perhaps interacting with people that are not, you know, taking all the proper precautions as JFK Medical Center is doing. So I'm glad you pointed out how things are being handled and all the safety precautions that are being taken. Let's talk a little bit about stroke and about heart attack. These are two very serious issues, and they can't be ignored, as we said, and time is of the essence, of course. Why don't we talk about symptoms for both, and we'll talk first about heart attack. What are some of the basic symptoms or signs that someone could be experiencing a heart attack, Dr. Hussein?
The most common symptoms is usually chest pains. The pain is pressure in nature. They can have some radiation, the pain, maybe left arm most commonly. The pain is usually misdernal or left-sided. They can have sweating and chills with it associated with them, some shortness of breath. Those are the most common symptoms. There are also some uncommon symptoms, such as more GI symptoms, have like upset stomach and reflux or gas pain that may feel like reflux pain. That is not as common, but can also, but usually, you know, when you just don't feel right.
Speaking of the shortness of breath and the chest tightening, do you find that there are some people that perhaps are coming to the hospital thinking that it's a COVID-19 issue, but they're actually having issues with stroke or heart attack?
You're absolutely right, Ashley. And, you know, even the patients with COVID, they can have heart disease. I mean, we've taken care of patients who have COVID and as a result have had heart attacks. So COVID itself does cause heart attacks as well. You know, what happens is patients who have COVID are hypercoagulable, meaning they're more prone to forming blood clots. Plus, their heart is under more stress. So as a result, they can actually potentiate a heart attack. So, you know, both of them, either way, they should be, you know, be seen in the hospital and be looked into to see what the cause of the symptoms are. Yes, it can sort of mask COVID also. Both reasons they should be evaluated.
I also wanted to ask you, as far as your patients who are stroke patients or patients that have heart issues, are there any particular precautions that they need to take right now in this current climate with regards to COVID-19? Should they be taking extra precautions?
Against self, you know, again, using protective devices, you know, making sure they're masking themselves, washing their hands as much as frequently as possible, by avoiding groups, and if they have any signs or symptoms of COVID or any other angina or strokes, they should be seen and evaluated immediately.
Okay. Dr. Kamani, same for you?
Same. I'll just add that in addition to taking the usual COVID precautions, from the cardiovascular health and stroke health perspective, our lives have changed as we are stuck at home. Maybe the lives have become more sedentary with more binge watching of movies and less of an outdoor activities.
Yeah.
So we have to maintain our cardiovascular health and conditioning, maintain a certain exercise regimen, keep ourselves hydrated, and drink lots of water like we usually should do. But as our routines are changing, some of our eating habits are changing too. So we need to be cognizant that healthy eating habits, plenty of fluid and water and exercise goes a long way of maintaining a healthy vascular, cardiovascular, and cerebrovascular system that prevents both strokes and heart attacks.
Okay, those are good points, of course, because, you know, that's what people tend to do. I mean, you're in the house, there's nowhere to go, nothing is open, you've got a refrigerator full of food and movies stocked and ready to go on Netflix. So there you go. You're not doing anything, you're not exercising, but, you know, I know that a lot of people are trying to do some online exercising. Pretty much, you just have to move a little bit every day just to get your activity going and, I guess, get some sunshine, too, because what you don't want to have is an influx of people who are developing issues because they're not moving, because they're just eating comfort foods and snacking and being sedentary for 2, 3, 4 months. I mean, that's an issue as well, that you can actually see more patients developing things that, you know, perhaps they wouldn't have before. Now, let's talk about the issue of stress, because this is a very stressful time for everyone. I mean, I don't know anyone who hasn't been impacted by this, whether you're forced to work from home while dealing with your kids who are distance learning at the same time, not really knowing what's happening with the job situation. This is very stressful. And maybe Dr. Kermani, you can talk about the stress and situation as far as how it correlates with stroke and heart attack. This is a stressful time, but it's also a time that stress could push you in the wrong direction, correct?
That's very correct. And the stress is kind of an inducer of a response in the body, which is the fight or flight response, where hormones kick in that not only increase your baseline heart rate, but also increase the stressor level of steroids in the body. And that can in turn result in a lot of changes in the body physiology, including promotion of strokes and heart attacks. So it is very important that a certain regimen of healthy habits are kept, exercise is regular, and anything to reduce the stress. There are a lot of online resources. The hospitals have provided a lot of resources to have a discussion about things, to see if you could talk to a psychologist if something is bothering you in particular. So those resources and help should be sought too, and levels of stress should be managed to an appropriate healthy level. Otherwise, it could result in a lot of problems, not just restricted to strokes and heart attacks.
Now, how important is it to monitor your blood pressure if you have an issue, if you're feeling extra stressed and, you know, you're kind of concerned about things? Can monitoring your blood pressure help things along? Do you recommend that to your patients?
Monitoring blood pressure and heart rate both could be very helpful, Dr. Hussain.
No, I agree. Basically, I mean, those are the key vitals that, I mean, you should check every day, especially in patients who are sedentary at home. And again, the diet is an issue, especially in this time where, you know, 3 meals are difficult. It's a very important factor. They should closely monitor the blood pressure, especially if they're not being seen physicians as often as well.
What are some of the important lifestyle habits, Dr. Hussain, that you could say would hurt our heart, hurt or help our heart for both men and women?
Well, for men, one of the worst lifestyle habits is smoking. I mean, you should avoid smoking. One of the other things that's happening, especially with the issue of staying home and being sedentary, is people are drinking more alcohol, and that's leading to more complications, more issues as well. The good things, I mean, that you can do is, again, exercise is really key. Try to be active, at least try to exercise 30 to 45 minutes 3 to 4 times a week is really the key, and avoid a sedentary lifestyle. And also, and again, dietary intake, very careful in what they're eating, watching their salt intake, their, you know, concentrated sweets as well as processed foods, avoiding them as much as possible, especially since you're more sedentary in this present time.
I'm glad you brought up alcohol, because I did read a report that a lot of people are quote-unquote day drinking more. They're finding themselves just drinking at different times of the day because they're stressed out, because there's so much uncertainty, and they're reaching for, you know, the bottle perhaps to deal with it. What kinds of issues does alcohol consumption play in terms of stress, heart attack, and stroke?
Well, alcohol suppresses your immune system. So once again, I think that can lead to more infections and COVID and things like that. But alcohol also affects your heart. It can cause arrhythmias. It can cause other issues with your heart. It can lead to other issues in terms of cardiomyopathy and so forth. Again, other organs are also damaged with the alcohol as well, liver and so forth. And from what I understand, alcohol consumption has actually increased by 40 or 50% in the last 1 month.
Yeah.
Sales have gone up by 50 and 60%. So that is a real opener there. That is a big issue right now presently in the country.
Okay, yeah, because alcoholic beverages sales, for some reason, are considered essential. So they remain open. But, you know, I've heard that they wanted to do that because, you know, people are dependent on it and taking them away from it could, you know, cause things like seizures and the like. Is that true?
That's true, actually. Oh. I think that's one of the reasons why they actually kept the liquor stores open is that they felt that the hospitals already were overwhelmed with other things. So, you know, the last thing they needed was patients coming with the with DTs, which is called delirium tremors, from withdrawal from alcohol. So by keeping the liquor stores open, hopefully, you know, this will avoid the issue. And, you know, to tell you the truth, when you walk through the ER, you would usually see people, one or two people every day. And now you see very few because, again, they're scared to come to the ER, but I guess because they are able to get their alcohol.
Okay. Dr. Kermani, we spoke about this last time we talked about stroke. Why is it that so many victims fail to be able to identify their own stroke system symptoms?
Like when we talked about it last time, like because it's painless, because people think it's just some numbness that can be shaken off or they can sleep it off, that is one of the reasons why it gets ignored. And we started the program saying that we have to be fast, calling the EMS. And that may be a good mnemonic to remember what are the important things that a patient may be looking for if they're looking for signs and symptoms of stroke. Be fast starts with a B, which is balance. Balance is an important part and can be affected with stroke. The E of B fast is for the eyes. If you lose vision in one or both eyes, that is very important that you immediately call 911 and come to the emergency room. F stands for face, and any facial weakness should be noticed and should be promptly acted upon. A stands for arm. Any loss of strength or loss of function, including numbness of the arm, should be taken seriously. S stands for speech. And it's not only the slurring of the speech as if you're too drunk and you're dysarthric or slurring your words, but it's also speech in the sense of getting the language out or understanding what other people are saying. If you suddenly lose the ability of comprehension or expression, that should be acted upon. And T stands for time. And time is of essence, as we've been talking about this. So if you remember the mnemonic be fast, balance, eyes, face, arm, speech, and time is of essence, call 911, come to the emergency room. I think you got the symptoms of stroke, and that pretty much covers everything the stroke can do to a person.
Okay, what's the difference between stroke and I believe it's called transient ischemic attack, TIA? What are the differences there?
Very good question, and that's where people tend to wait it out for that reason too. TIA is a stroke, but it's only transient. As the name suggests, it goes away within a certain period of time. What that period of time is has been debatable. Like, it started off with a definition of 24 hours to 2 hours to now half an hour to really saying that the experts believe that there is no difference between TIA and a stroke. It's just a kind of a warning of an impending or a larger stroke about to come or about to happen. So even if you have resolution of stroke-like symptoms, which is a TIA or transient ischemic attack, it should be taken seriously and acted upon as if a stroke is happening. We do know that if you do have a TIA, your chances of a stroke coming, a larger stroke coming within the next 48 to 72 hours is very, very high.
You know, since I have you both on the line, I wanted to ask you both, stroke victims, people who have experienced stroke, are they at higher risk for heart attack and vice versa?
Yes. I mean, they both, sort of pathology is very similar. Both of them involve embolic or built up a plaque. So People who have increased risk of cardiovascular disease also have increased strokes. Am I right, Dr. Armani?
Yeah, no, that's correct. Because it's just the vascular system problem. If you have a blockage or occlusion of one blood vessel, you usually have a blockage or occlusion of other blood vessels as well. And same stands for a clot or a thrombus that can move from one body part to another body part. It doesn't discriminate whether it goes to the heart or it goes to the brain. It could end up anywhere, a piece of plaque or a piece of clot that blocks the blood vessel. So can result in strokes or heart attacks or both at some times.
Okay, and both stroke and heart attack affect men and women differently, correct? Or they present differently, I should say.
The presentations are similar. It's just that I think sometimes women have more atypical symptoms and tend to ignore it. Men tend to have more risk factors usually. I mean, there tend to be a higher incidence of smoking and so forth in men than women. So the risk is a little bit different. Hypertension is more common in men than women. So those are the risk factors for both things that are more common in men. But the symptoms are very similar, the main symptoms. You can also have atypical symptoms in both of the diseases as well, too. And they tend to occur more commonly in females.
So if you're young, physically fit, healthy, is stroke and heart attack, this is something that you don't have to worry about? Or are there things that you have to look at in terms of your lifestyle?
You have a family history. Then you should really think about, or if you have risk factors such as diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, or especially a family history, then you should be concerned. Look into it. I mean, if you do not have those risk factors, so you don't have history of smoking or family history, the likelihood is much lower, as long as you're taking care of yourself.
And as Dr. Hussain mentioned, in these times of COVID, we do know that there is a certain risk of hypercoagulability with this coronavirus infection, and also because you're hypoxic or you're struggling to breathe, it increases the work of breathing or it increases the heart rate, which puts some extra stress on the cardiovascular system, and which can, you know, like both of these factors, the fact that your blood is thicker than usual with this COVID virus and the fact that you're stressing the system out, the combination of these two factors, there have been reports at least from the New York epicenter at Mount Sinai that younger patients have been getting strokes. So there may be a shift of epidemiology towards more younger patients this time of COVID.
Okay. Well, doctors, if you can both send a message to people who, again, are a little bit apprehensive about going to the hospital and they may be experiencing signs of, you know, stroke or heart attack, again, what should they know?
Basically, I mean, we're here for you. That's really the key. And one of the things is if you are not feeling well, you are having any of these symptoms, you should either contact your primary physician right away, or if you're having active symptoms, may think that you're having a heart attack or acute neurological symptoms or stroke, you should really get the immediate attention because really time is of the essence in order to be treated properly. I mean, if you're having a stroke, you can get thrombolytics. If you're having a heart attack, you can get an intervention performed and hopefully help your long-term prognosis overall. The longer you wait, the more complications you're going to have.
Okay. I would agree and repeat the same sentiment. Time is of essence. Be fast. And we are here for you, and we will take all proper precautions to ensure your safety and our safety. So don't be worried of coming to the hospitals. They are actually the safer places that exist right now and during the COVID pandemics.
And, of course, JFK Medical Center in Edison is, of course, taking all the proper precautions to protect both you and the healthcare workers. So if you are experiencing something, another medical issue outside of COVID-19, do not be afraid of calling 911 or going into a hospital and getting the treatment you need. Dr. Kimani and Dr. Hussain, thank you so much for joining us today. And for more information on what the doctors are doing at JFK Medical Center's Neuroscience Institute's Stroke and Neurovascular Center, and also the Medical Center's Chest Pain Center and Cardiac Catheterization Lab, you can just log on to jfkmc.org. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you again.
Thank you.